until I'm where I want to be, running 10 kilometers three times a week. So when I begin to exercise, I run to get healthy. But once I've hit my goal of 10 kilometers, I will continue to run to stay healthy. I need to exercise to get health, and once I've attained health, I need to continue to exercise to retain health. Do you know that we need to go to Jesus to get health? We need to run to Jesus to get health. But once we run to Jesus to get health, then we run for Jesus to stay healthy. What do I mean by running to Jesus? Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Just before I start reading, I'd like to pose a question. Does God desire to commune with you? Yes? If you believe so, raise your hand. Did I see everyone raise their hand? Does God desire to commune with you? Yes. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham by a terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. Does the Lord know that Abraham's sitting in his tent? Does he know he's sitting at the door because it's extremely hot? God knows that. The Bible continues, it says, so Abraham lifted his eyes and he looked. And behold, three men were standing by him. When he saw them, he what? He ran. Did he walk? No. Did he crawl? Did he take his time to go and meet the three men? No, as soon as he sensed the presence of the three, what did he do? He ran. From the tent door to meet them, he bowed himself to the ground and he said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. As soon as he sensed the presence of Jesus and two angels, what did he do? He ran to meet them. Is that all he did? Running to meet them, he sensed that they were what? They were in need of nourishment. Then the Bible says in verse 6, Abraham hastened. What did he do? Hastened into the tent to Sarah, and he said, quickly. Do you notice that everything is being done in a hurry? Abraham runs to meet them. As soon as he's greeted them, he runs into the tent. And what does he say to Sarah? Quickly, prepare 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and bake cakes. And then the Bible says in verse 7, Abraham ran to the herd. What did he do? He ran, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. Why is Abraham running around like a chicken with his head cut off? He is running because he sensed the presence of Jesus. And the first thing that he did was he ran to who? He ran to Jesus and the two angels that were with him. Sensing they were in need, then he ran and had everyone around him prepare to meet their need. Why? What was the purpose of it all? Because those three had a message for who? For Abraham. The Bible says in verse 9, they said to him, "Where is Sarah your wife?" He said, "Here in the tent." He said, referring to Jesus, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son." Did God have a message to communicate to Abraham, and then from Abraham to Sarah? Yes, God had a message to communicate. But in order for that message to be communicated, Abraham had to run to those who were going to communicate that message. Now, I believe that every morning when I get up out of bed, that Jesus is there and he wants to commune with me. Do you believe that? Every morning when I get up out of bed, Jesus is there waiting, desiring to commune with me. And upon getting up, I should what? I should run to commune with him. Because he has a message for me. Shouldn't hasten. Shouldn't be slow. Shouldn't take my time. But upon getting up, I should immediately run to sit down and talk to Jesus because he has a message for me. In Mark chapter 8, it's Mark chapter 7. Let's try Mark chapter 6, verse 30. The apostles gathered to Jesus, told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Well, to set the scene, this is just prior to that, Jesus has sent out the 12 disciples, okay, to do a work and to preach the gospel and to heal those who were possessed with demons. They come back and they tell Jesus that they've done what he had asked them to do. And Jesus said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while." There were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So Jesus says upon returning from doing all of that work that they should what? Come aside, take a rest. They're deserving of rest. In verse 32 it says, they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. Doesn't that sound nice? Working hard, becoming tired, and just going aside after it's all said and done to a what type of place? Deserted place in a boat by themselves. Well, that sounds good to me. I don't know about you, but that sure sounds good to me. Verse 33, but the multitudes saw them departing. Well, this could pose a problem. Could pose a serious problem. You want to take a rest, but everyone sees that you're going to depart. And the Bible continues, it says, and many knew him. And they did what? They ran there on foot from all the cities. How many ran? All. Well, how much is all? It says multitudes from all the surrounding cities ran on foot. To who? To Jesus and the 12. And then the Bible continues, it says, they arrived before them and they came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Could Jesus have taught them if they had not ran to him? They sensed that it was Jesus. They had heard about this man Jesus and what he was capable of doing. And sensing and seeing that he and his disciples were departing to a solitary place all alone, the multitude did what? They ran. And upon running to Jesus, Jesus taught them. Why do you and I need to run to Jesus? Because we need to be taught from Jesus. Is there anyone else that we should run to? These people ran to Jesus because they knew that it was Jesus who would supply their need. And you and I need to learn that we will have all our needs supplied by running to Jesus. If we continue down in the same chapter in verses 53 and following, the Bible says, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, anchored there. When they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him. Well, what are they going to do? They know that Jesus just got what? Out of the boat. They recognize him. What are they going to do? Verse 55, it says what? They ran through the whole surrounding region. What did they do? Did they walk? No. Did they crawl? Did they slumber? Immediately upon recognizing that it was Jesus, they ran. And they ran through the whole surrounding country, began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered, into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made well. It's incredible! Now they're not running to Jesus on behalf of themselves. They're running to Jesus on behalf of someone else. We need to run to Jesus because Jesus wants to communicate with us. We need to run to Jesus because Jesus has something to teach us. We need to run to Jesus because Jesus can heal us. We need to run to Jesus, and then we need to run for Jesus on behalf of those who need Jesus. Know that the Bible tells us, in fact, Jesus himself made this statement, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Will the end ever come without the gospel going to the world? He didn't say the gospel, he said this gospel. There's only one gospel, is there not? Think. Why did he say this gospel? Because there's more than one. But there's only one that is correct. Didn't Paul say in Galatians, if anyone preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed? There's a multitude of gospels, but there's only the gospel of Christ which is correct. And only when that gospel is preached to the whole world will the end come. See, I need to run to Jesus to understand what the gospel is. And once he's instructed me and taught me, and I've experienced that gospel, then I run for Jesus. And he uses me to communicate that gospel to the world. I run to for understanding. And then I run for to communicate that understanding so that others can run to. Do you know what the word gospel means in the original language? Well, people will say that it means the good news. Do you know, but it means more than that. Look it up in the Greek. Go to your concordance and look that word up in the Greek. It doesn't mean the good news. It means to announce the good news. You can be in possession of the good news, but that doesn't save you. The good news must be what? It must be announced and proclaimed. That's what the gospel means, to announce the good news. I'd like to look at three stories in the Bible that give us a clear indication of what it means to announce the good news of the gospel. The first one is found in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We're going to look at the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Beginning in verse 26, it says, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Now, did Philip know why he was to go at this point? No. He just knew that God asked him to what? To go. Down the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, and he knew it was desert. That's all he knew. See, when God communicates his will, he communicates it in stages. He doesn't communicate it all at once. He communicates it in stages. So he gave stage number one to Philip, and Philip was to do what? It was to go. Just go and walk down that road. Why? As of yet, does he know? No, he's just to go in obedience to a command by the angel of the Lord. Verse 27. He arose and went. Wasn't that all he was supposed to do? Up to this point, that's all he was supposed to do because that's all he was asked to do. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. Sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Well, Philip initially knew that he was just supposed to walk on this road from Jerusalem to Gaza, which was desert. But now the Spirit gives him further instruction. Upon seeing the chariot, the Spirit says what? Go near and overtake that chariot. Does Philip know why? He doesn't know why. He hasn't been told why. But he's been told to do what? Go near and overtake the chariot. So what does he do? The Bible says Philip did what? What did he do? He ran. Philip ran to him. Did he walk? No. Did he crawl? No. Did he slumber? No. Did he run? Yes. He ran to him. And what did he hear? He heard this man reading the prophet Isaiah and saying, do you understand what you are reading? And what did the Ethiopian respond? How can I unless someone guides me? Well, I tell you, Philip now has something to say. He's got good news for this man, does he not? He's definitely got good news. Because what this man does not understand, Philip does. Because Philip has run to Jesus. Philip understands the will of Jesus. He's been taught by Jesus. And upon meeting this man, he can interpret what this man is reading for Jesus. What does he do? He interprets Isaiah 53 and he says, all of this is pointing to who? Pointing to Christ. Did he have good news for that man? He had good news, did he not? He helped him to understand the scripture, and it led to his salvation. He gave him good news. Why did he run to the chariot? Because he sensed that he had good news to proclaim. Do you know that there's people out there studying the Word of God that don't have a clue what it means? They're lost because they've got no one to what? No one to explain it or to interpret it for them. Do you know also that God wants us to run to Him so that He can explain it to us, so that once we understand it, we can run on His behalf to explain it to others? Well, praise the Lord. If we rightly understand it, then we will run with it, will we not? If we rightly understand it, we will run, because we will sense that we have good news that will bring others salvation. Acts chapter 12. read that Herod killed James, the brother of John. He saw that killing James pleased the Jews, so he proceeded to seize Peter and put Peter in prison. And without going into the whole story, we know that Peter is bound hand and foot to soldiers within the prison, that there's three gates, all guarded by soldiers, that there's 16 soldiers which he would have to bypass in order to get out of that prison. And we read in verse 5 this: Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Where is Peter? He's in prison. Is there any way he's going to get out without divine aid? No. But the church is what? The church is praying. Do you think when the church prays that we will not see the salvation of God? When the church prays, what's going to happen? We are going to see God's mighty hand come down, and we will see the salvation of God. The church is praying because Peter's in prison. Well, we know that an angel comes down. And an angel does what? He loosed the chains without the soldiers even perceiving what's going on. He takes Peter and walks him right out. And none of the Roman guards even perceive what has taken place. Well, Peter, in verse 12, it says, came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Peter comes up to the gate. He knocks at the door of the gate in verse 13, and the Bible says a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not even open the gate. But she did what? She ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. Well, I tell you, she had good news. Did she not? She had good news. She was so happy with seeing Peter that she even forgot that he was at the gate. And she ran to announce the good news. Do you not think that salvation through Jesus Christ and his atoning blood is good news? Do you not think, if correctly understood what Christ has done and is doing on our behalf, that we will not run to proclaim that good news? We will run just as Rhoda ran to announce the good news, to bring joy to God's people wherever they are. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. The context: Sabbath has passed. Jesus has spent his time in the tomb. The first day of the week has began to dawn. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb where Jesus was buried. In verse 2 it says, behold, there's a great earthquake. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door, sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him, became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Now, is this good news? No, I tell you, if we lived back then and we had seen the last scenes of Christ's life, and that person who we had spent 3.5 years with was now taken from us and crucified on a cross and dead in the grave, if we came to Sunday morning and an angel communed to us, he's not here, he's risen, that would be good news. He is not here, he's risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. They not only communicate to the two ladies that Jesus is not in the grave, he's risen, they actually take them and do what? Show them, so that they see with their own eyes. And then they say this, go quickly and tell his disciples. Go what? Go what? Go quickly. Are they to walk? Are they to crawl? Are they to slumber? No, go quickly. Tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they departed, what? Quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. And they ran to bring his disciples word. I tell you this morning, if the gospel does not bring joy to your heart, then you don't have the right gospel. You've got the wrong one. You need to find the right one. Because the right one, correctly understood, does what? It brings joy to the heart. And it enables us to run and proclaim the joy which we experience. They ran to bring his disciples word. They're now running for Jesus. They have communed with Jesus. Now they are running for Jesus because they have good news to what? To announce to the 12. Well, what do you think is going to happen when these two ladies run to announce the good news? What do you think is going to happen to the 12? Well, we pick it up in John chapter 20, in verses 2 to 4. The Bible says initially that Mary Magdalene ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them. She ran, and who'd she meet first? Peter and John. And she said this, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb, and the Bible says what happened. They both ran together. The other disciple outran Peter, came to the tomb first. What happened? The two did what? The two ran. Did they not? Why did they run? Because the good news, who told them the good news? The ladies, very good. You run to Jesus to get the good news of the gospel. Then you run for Jesus to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Once you run for Jesus proclaiming the good news, it leads others to run to Jesus so that they can experience that same good news. I'm going to close with a story found in Mark chapter 10. It's a story of the rich young ruler.
Mark 10,
verses 17 and following. The Bible says this: as he was going out on the road, one came what?
Wasn't walking,
wasn't crawling, wasn't slumbering. He came what? He came running. And this, he knelt down before Jesus. He asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" He's running to Jesus to get instruction from Jesus. Isn't that a good thing? Isn't that what he should have done? Sure it is. He had to run to Jesus to receive instruction from Jesus. And Jesus then did what? He instructed him. And as we run through the story, Jesus concluded by saying this: that this young rich ruler lacked one thing. He told him to go his way, sell whatever he had, and give it to the poor, and he would have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. And unfortunately, the story concludes by saying this: he was sad at this word, went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He ran to Jesus, did he not? Because he wanted to be instructed by Jesus. Is that not what he should have done? Yes, but was his salvation based upon that alone? No. Upon receiving the instruction, then he should have brought his life in harmony with what Jesus was communicating to him, and then he should have ran and proclaimed the good news, and met the needs of the poor. Is Jesus calling us? Yes. Does Jesus desire to commune with us? Yes. When we get up in the morning, should we not run to him to receive his gospel, his power to transform our lives? And upon receiving it, because we ran to him, then we will naturally do what? We will run for him and proclaim the good news which we have come to understand. And upon running for him, then others will run to him. May God help us, so that his will may be done. Amen.